College English Test Band 6 Part 2 Listening Comprehension
Section A Directions In this section, you will hear 8 short conversations and 2 long conversations. At the end of each conversation, one or more questions will be asked about what was said. Both the conversation and the questions will be spoken only once. After each question, there will be a pause. During the pause, you must read the 4 choices marked A, B, C, and D, and decide which is the best answer. Then mark the corresponding letter on answer sheet 1, with a single line through the center. Now let's begin with the 8 short conversations.
Question 1. Can you come to the concert with me this weekend, or do you have to prepare for exams?
I still have a lot to do, but maybe a break would do me good.
What will the man probably do? Question 2. What does the paper say about the horrible incident that happened this morning on flight 870 to Hong Kong?
It ended with the arrest of the 3 hijackers. They had forced the plane to fly to Japan, but all the passengers and crew members landed safely.
What do we learn from the conversation?
Question 3. Helen, this is the most fascinating article I've ever come across. I think you should spare some time to read it.
Oh, really? I thought that anything about the election would be tedious.
What are the speakers talking about?
Question 4. I'm not going to trust the restaurant critic from that magazine again. The food here doesn't taste anything like what we had in Chinatown.
It definitely wasn't worth the wait.
What do we learn from the conversation? Question 5. Do you know what's wrong with Mark? He's been acting very strangely lately.
Come on, with his mother hospitalized, right after he's taken on a new job? He's just got a lot on his mind.
What do we learn from the conversation about Mark? Question 6. There were only 20 students at last night's meeting, so nothing could be voted on.
That's too bad. They'll have to turn up in greater numbers if they want a voice on campus issues.
What does the man mean?
Question 7. I try to watch TV as little as possible, but it's so hard.
I didn't watch TV at all before I retired, but now I can hardly tear myself away from it.
What do we learn from the conversation?
Question 8. I'm having a problem registering for the classes I want.
That's too bad, but I'm pretty sure you'll be able to work everything out before the semester starts.
What does the man mean?
Now you'll hear the 2 long conversations. Conversation 1.
Jack, sit down and listen. This is important. We'll have to tackle the problems of exporting step by step, and the first move is to get an up-to-date picture of where we stand now.
Why don't we just concentrate on expanding here at home?
Of course, we should hold on to our position here, but you must admit the market here is limited.
Yes, but it's safe. The government keeps out foreigners with import controls. Though I must admit, I feel sure we could hold our own against foreign bikes.
I agree. That's why I'm suggesting exporting, because I feel we can compete with the best of them.
What you are really saying is that we'd make more profit by selling bikes abroad, where we have a cost advantage and can charge higher prices.
Exactly.
But wait a minute. Packaging, shipping, financing, etc. will push up our costs and we could end up no better off. Maybe worse off.
Okay. Now, there are extra costs involved, but if we do it right, they can be built into the price of the bike and we can still be competitive.
How sure are you about our chances of success in the foreign market?
Well, that's the sticky one. It's going to need a lot of research. I'm hoping to get your help. Well, come on, Jack. Is it worth it or not?
There'll be a lot of problems.
Nothing we can't handle.
I'm not that hopeful. But yes, I think we should go ahead with a feasibility study.
Marvelous, Jack. I was hoping you'd be on my side. Questions 9 to 12 are based on the conversation you have just heard. Question 9. What does the woman intend to do? Question 10. Why does the man think it's safe to focus on the home market? Question 11. What is the man's concern about selling bikes abroad? Question 12. What do the speakers agree to do? Conversation 2. What does the term alternative energy source mean?
When we think of energy or fuel for our homes and cars, we think of petroleum, a fossil fuel processed from oil removed from the ground, of which there is a limited supply. But alternative fuels can be many things. Wind, sun, and water can all be used to create fuel.
Is the threat of running out of petroleum real?
It has taken thousands of years to create the natural stores of petroleum we have now. We are using what is available at a much faster rate than it is being produced over time. The real controversy surrounding the amounts of petroleum we have is how much we need to keep in reserve for future use. Most experts agree that by around 2025, the amount of petroleum we use will reach a peak. Then production and availability will begin to seriously decline. This is not to say there will be no petroleum at this point, but it'll become very difficult and therefore expensive to extract.
Is that the most important reason to develop alternative fuel and energy sources?
There are two very clear reasons to do so. One is that whether we have 60 or 600 years of fossil fuels left, we have to find other fuel sources eventually. So the sooner we start, the better off we will be. The other big argument is that when you burn fossil fuels, you release substances trapped in the ground for a long time, which leads to some long-term negative effects like global warming and the greenhouse effect. Questions 13 to 15 are based on the conversation you have just heard. Question 13. What do we usually refer to when we talk about energy according to the man? Question 14. What do most experts agree on according to the man? Question 15. What does the man think we should do now?
Section B, Directions. In this section, you will hear three short passages. At the end of each passage, you will hear some questions. Both the passage and the questions will be spoken only once. After you hear a question, you must choose the best answer from the four choices, marked A, B, C, and D. Then mark the corresponding letter on answer sheet 1 with a single line through the center.
Passage 1. Karen Smith is a buyer for a department store in New York. Department store buyers purchase the goods that their stores sell. They not only have to know what is fashionable at the moment, but also have to guess what will become fashionable next season or next year. Most buyers work for just one department in a store, but the goods that Karen finds may be displayed and sold in several different sections of the store. Her job involves buying handicrafts from all over the world. Last year, she made a trip to Morocco and returned with rugs, pots, dishes, and pans. The year before, she visited Mexico and brought back handmade tablecloths, mirrors with frames of tin, and paper flowers. The paper flowers are bright and colorful, so they were used to decorate the whole store. This year, Karen is traveling in Malaysia, Thailand, and Indonesia. Many of the countries that Karen visits have government offices that promote handicrafts. The officials are glad to cooperate with her by showing her the products that are available. Karen especially likes to visit markets in small towns and villages whenever she can arrange for it. She is always looking for interesting and unusual items. Karen thinks she has the best job she could have found. She loves all the traveling that she has to do. Because she often visits markets in small, out-of-the-way places, she sees much more of the countries she visits than an ordinary tourist would. As soon as she gets back to New York from one trip, Karen begins to plan another.
Questions 16 to 18 are based on the passage you have just heard. Question 16. What is said to make a good department store buyer? Question 17. What does Karen's job involve? Question 18. Why does Karen think she has got the best job? Passage 2. Mark felt that it was time for him to take part in his community, so he went to the neighborhood meeting after work. The area's city councilwoman was leading a discussion about how the quality of life was on the decline. The neighborhood faced many problems. Mark looked at the charts taped to the walls. There were charts for parking problems, crime, and for problems in vacant buildings. Mark read from the charts, "Police patrols cut back. Illegal parking up 20%. People were supposed to suggest solutions to the councilwoman. It was too much for Mark. The problems are too big, he thought. He turned to the man next to him and said, "I think this is a waste of my time. Nothing I could do would make a difference here." As he neared the bus stop on his way home, Mark saw a woman carrying a grocery bag and a baby. As Mark got closer, her other child, a little boy, suddenly darted into the street. The woman tried to reach for him, but as she moved, her bag shifted and groceries started to fall out. Mark ran to take the boy's arm and led him back to his mother. "You gotta stay with Mom," he said. Then he picked up the stray groceries while the woman smiled in relief. "Thanks," she said. "You've got great timing." "Just being neighborly," Mark said. As he rode home, he glanced at the poster near his seat in the bus. Small acts of kindness add up. Mark smiled and thought, maybe that's a good place to start.
Questions 19 to 22 are based on the passage you have just heard. Question 19. What did Mark think he should start doing? Question 20. What was being discussed when Mark arrived at the neighborhood meeting? Question 21. What did Mark think of the community's problems? Question 22. Why did Mark smile on his ride home? Passage 3. And if stress in childhood can lead to heart disease, what about current stressors? Longer work hours, threats of layoffs, collapsing pension funds. A study last year in The Lancet examined more than 11,000 heart attack sufferers from 52 countries. It found that in the year before their heart attacks, patients had been under significantly more strains than some 13,000 healthy control subjects. Those strains came from work, family, financial troubles, depression, and other causes. Each of these factors individually was associated with increased risk, says Dr. Salim Youssef, professor of medicine at Canada's McMaster University and senior investigator on the study. Together, they accounted for 30% of overall heart attack risk. But people respond differently to high-pressure work situations. Whether it produces heart problems seems to depend on whether you have a sense of control over life or live at the mercy of circumstances and superiors. That was the experience of John O'Connell, a Rockford, Illinois laboratory manager who suffered his first heart attack in 1996 at the age of 56. In the 2 years before, his mother and two of his children had suffered serious illnesses and his job had been changed in a reorganization. "My life seemed completely out of control," he says. "I had no idea where I would end up." He ended up in hospital due to a block in his artery. 2 months later, he had a triple bypass surgery. A second heart attack when he was 58 left his doctor shaking his head. "There's nothing more we can do for you," doctors told him.
Questions 23 to 25 are based on the passage you have just heard. Question 23. What does the passage mainly discuss? Question 24. What do we learn about John O'Connell's family? Question 25. What did John O'Connell's doctors tell him when he had a second heart attack? Section C. Directions. In this section, you will hear a passage three times. When the passage is read for the first time, you should listen carefully for its general idea. When the passage is read for the second time, you are required to fill in the blanks with the exact words you have just heard. Finally, when the passage is read for the third time, you should check what you have written. Now, listen to the passage.
When most people think of the word education, They think of a pupil as a sort of animate sausage casing. Into this empty casing, the teachers are supposed to stuff education. But genuine education, as Socrates knew more than 2,000 years ago, is not inserting the stuffings of information into a person, but rather eliciting knowledge from him. It is the drawing out of what is in the mind. The most important part of education, once wrote William Ernest Hocking, the distinguished Harvard philosopher, is this instruction of a man in what he has inside of him. And as Edith Hamilton has reminded us, Socrates never said, "I know, learn from me." He said rather, "Look into your own selves and find the spark of truth that God has put into every heart, and that only you can kindle to a flame." In a dialogue, Socrates takes an ignorant slave boy without a day of schooling and proves to the amazed observers that the boy really knows geometry, because the principles of geometry are already in his mind, waiting to be called out. So many of the discussions and controversies about the content of education are useless and inconclusive, because they are concerned with what should go into the student rather than with what should be taken out and how this can best be done. The college student who once said to me after a lecture, "I spend so much time studying that I don't have a chance to learn anything," was clearly expressing his dissatisfaction with the sausage casing view of education.
Now the passage will be read again. When most people think of the word education, they think of a pupil as a sort of animate sausage casing. Into this empty casing, the teachers are supposed to stuff education. But genuine education, as Socrates knew more than 2,000 years ago, is not inserting the stuffings of information into a person, but rather eliciting knowledge from him. It is the drawing out of what is in the mind. The most important part of education, once wrote William Ernest Hocking, the distinguished Harvard philosopher, is this instruction of a man in what he has inside of him. And as Edith Hamilton has reminded us, Socrates never said, "I know, learn from me." He said rather, "Look into your own selves and find the spark of truth that God has put into every heart, and that only you can kindle to a flame." In a dialogue, Socrates takes an ignorant slave boy without a day of schooling and proves to the amazed observers that the boy really knows geometry, because the principles of geometry are already in his mind, waiting to be called out. So many of the discussions and controversies about the content of education are useless and inconclusive, because they are concerned with what should go into the student rather than with what should be taken out and how this can best be done. The college student who once said to me after a lecture, "I spend so much time studying that I don't have a chance to learn anything," was clearly expressing his dissatisfaction with the sausage casing view of education.
Now the passage will be read for the third time. When most people think of the word education, they think of a pupil as a sort of animate sausage casing. Into this empty casing, the teachers are supposed to stuff education. But genuine education, as Socrates knew more than 2,000 years ago, is not inserting the stuffings of information into a person, but rather eliciting knowledge from him. It is the drawing out of what is in the mind. The most important part of education, once wrote William Ernest Hocking, the distinguished Harvard philosopher, is this instruction of a man in what he has inside of him. And as Edith Hamilton has reminded us, Socrates never said, "I know, learn from me." He said rather, "Look into your own selves and find the spark of truth that God has put into every heart, and that only you can kindle to a flame." In a dialogue, Socrates takes an ignorant slave boy without a day of schooling and proves to the amazed observers that the boy really knows geometry, because the principles of geometry are already in his mind, waiting to be called out. So many of the discussions and controversies about the content of education are useless and inconclusive, because they are concerned with what should go into the student rather than with what should be taken out and how this can best be done. The college student who once said to me after a lecture, "I spend so much time studying that I don't have a chance to learn anything," was clearly expressing his dissatisfaction with the sausage casing view of education.
This is the end of listening comprehension.
听力考试结束，现在由监考员收答题卡一，请考生等待开始作答下一部分试题的指令。